This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
In the narration of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that whilst I was asleep in a dream, I saw the pillar of the book being taken from beneath my head, and I thought that it was being taken away. So I followed it with my gaze, and I saw that it was taken to Ash-Sham. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, verily faith when tribulations come will be in Ash-Sham. This is similar to his words sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he said the heartland of the believers is Ash-Sham, as reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. It can be argued that the fourth city in Islam is Damascus. Shouldn't be forgotten that many, many eyes witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They are buried in the lands of Sham. The graves of more than 500 companions, including the grave of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhum ajma'in. In these lands do we have the graves of the likes of Imam al-Nawawi, Imam ibn Taymiyyah, Imam ibn Kathir, and Ibn al-Qayyim, and the list goes on and on, rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in. In recent days and in record time have once again been freed of tyranny and oppression. This is a reality that can only bring happiness to hearts filled with iman. Wallahi, only hearts filled with hatreds toward Allah, with hatred towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hearts filled with hypocrisy can feel sad at tyranny and oppression that has been lifted off the people of Syria in the recent days. O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, the greatest achievement of the second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, and no doubt after establishing comprehensive justice in the Muslim lands, was the Islamic conquest of the lands of Persia and Rome. These were carried out by the believers, by his army, those who believed in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believed in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the final messenger. Those who had strong faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this faith enabled them to liberate vast territories and bring an end to long-standing empires and kingdoms of oppression and injustice. No doubt, his ultimate goal, radiallahu an, was to walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to free humanity from a life of servitude to one's desires, and to help guide humanity towards the servitude of the Lord of the worlds, Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahidul Qahhar. And in this process, ensure that the path towards happiness, the path towards dignity would be reached and achieved. And through this success would reach humanity, not just success of this life, but success of this life and the next. In light of this, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he sends and dispatches an urgent communication to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, the Amin of this Ummah, the trustworthy one of this Ummah. And he says to him, begin with Damascus, for it is the fortress of Syria and the heart of their kingdom. He says, radiallahu anhu, advance towards it and deploy a force near Fahl, another place, to keep its people occupied. And if Allah grants victory over Fahl before Damascus, that is what we desire. And if Damascus is conquered first, then proceed with your army, leaving a deputy to rule over Damascus. And once Allah grants victory over Fahl, proceed with Khalid ibn al-Walid to Homs, leaving Amr and Shurahbil, in charge of Jordan and Palestine, meaning the project related to Jordan and Palestine. In this paragraph, in this letter, we see the vision of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And no doubt it is a vision that developed because of the ultimate vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As-sama' wa-ta'a. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, under the leadership of the second caliph of Islam, he obeys what has reached him in terms of the command. And he sends a detachment to position themselves between Damascus and Palestine, and another one to position themselves between Damascus and Homs to block reinforcements coming to Damascus, or the areas that they were intending, via Heraclius, who was in charge of the affairs of this region. By blocking of these regions and these places, reinforcements couldn't reach the places that the Muslims were intending at the time. He then advances towards Damascus with Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. And Khalid, he leads the center of the army, whilst he, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah and Amr ibn al-As, they commanded the flanks. They reached Damascus, whose governor at the time was Nastas ibn Nastus. And Khalid stations himself at the eastern gate of Damascus. And Abu Ubaidah, the leader of the army, stations himself at the great Jabiya gate, and he lays the siege equipment, which included catapults and battering rams, because as we know, the cities of the past, they had these walls that had to be scaled, that had to be conquered before you could reach the inside of the city. Some sources say, Ibn Kathir and others, for 70 nights, the Muslims laid siege on Damascus. Other sources say it was for longer. And because of how the Muslims positioned their armies between themselves and the other cities, reinforcements to help the people of Damascus couldn't reach them. The city's residents, they resisted to the best of their ability, but subhanallah, they couldn't match what was outside the walls in terms of the Muslim army. Their reinforcements couldn't reach them, and as the siege lasted, they became weakened. And subhanallah, it was Allah's decree that during one of these nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the governor of Damascus a child. And to celebrate the birth of this child, he prepared a feast for the people of Damascus. And Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, he was collecting real-time data. He was ensuring he had eyes and ears upon the different touch points of what was happening inside the city. And he came to learn that people now would be busy with this feast, with the celebration, because of this child that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the governor, and he saw this as his opportunity. And he commanded his closest and dearest that we will scale. And when we scale and you hear our takbir, then you should scale as well. And it so happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it even easier. When Khalid scaled with those with him, they managed to push back and ward off the defenders of the gates. And Khalid and his team managed to open the eastern gates, and the Muslims came in. Now, they went in, and obviously when people heard the takbirs and they heard the cries, they came out to defend Damascus, and a battle ensued. At the same time, the governor, when he realizes the plight of his situation, he sends a message to Abu Ubaidah, who is on the Jabiya gate. A message for peace. And Abu Ubaidah grants them this peace. And as he enters peacefully from the Jabiya gate, he sees Khalid ibn Walid fighting on the eastern side. The Muslims say to Khalid, "We have entered in peace." Khalid says, "No, we have entered unwatan, with force." And from an Islamic jurisprudence perspective, the rules of fiqh change when you enter a place forcefully and when you enter a place through a peaceful agreement. So now there was a dilemma. And the Muslims met together, obviously led by Abu Ubaidah. And a message gets sent to Medina, where Umar ibn Khattab is, to let him know what has happened. A group of us entered peacefully upon agreement. And a group of us prior entered forcefully, unwatan. What should we move forward upon? Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu an, he sends a message to the believers. And he says to them, treat the city as a city that was entered upon in peace, and encourage others to embrace Islam and preserve the Muslims' reputation as people of honor, not betrayal. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, it was narrated that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said twice or thrice, "O Allah, bless our Sham. O Allah, bless our Yemen." Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he says it should be understood that the blessing in Ash-Sham that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked for and made dua for includes blessings in both religious and worldly matters. Hence, the land is called holy. And we know that Sham, historically, brothers and sisters and elders in Islam consist of a few lands in terms of the modern mapping system. Jordan, Palestine, Syria, and Lebanon, and arguably other lands close by. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for these lands. In fact, in another narration, in the narration of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whilst I was asleep in a dream, I saw the pillar of the book being taken from beneath my head, and I thought that it was being taken away. So I followed it with my gaze, and I saw that it was taken to Ash-Sham. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily faith, when tribulations come, will be in Ash-Sham. Iman, when tribulations come, will be in Ash-Sham. And this is similar to his word sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, the heartland of the believers is Ash-Sham, as reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. My dear brothers and elders in Islam, my dear mothers, my dear sisters, it can be argued that the fourth city in Islam is Damascus. For it was here that the power base of Islam transferred to during the Umayyad Caliphate after the period of the Rashidun, meaning the rightly guided caliphs. It should not be forgotten what thousands, or it shouldn't be forgotten, that many, many eyes that witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they are buried in the lands of Sham. Humps alone houses the graves of more than 500 companions, including the grave of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhum ajma'in. It is the land also of the righteous people who came after them, those who were considered the close ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholars and imams of this ummah. In these lands do we have the graves of the likes of Imam al-Nawawi, Imam ibn Taymiyyah, Imam ibn Kathir, and Ibn al-Qayyim, and the list goes on and on. Rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in. Why are we highlighting this in today's khutbah? Well, these lands, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, in recent days and in record time, have once again been freed of tyranny and oppression. Subhanallah. And a reality, this is a reality that can only bring happiness to hearts filled with iman. Wallahi, only hearts filled with hatreds toward Allah, with hatred towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hearts filled with hypocrisy can feel sad at tyranny and oppression that has been lifted off the people of Syria in the recent days. As such, O servants of Allah, we as an ummah need to recognize this victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought to us. Nasrun min Allah wa fath. It is assistance and aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and an opening from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this opening, this assistance needs a celebration. No doubt, wallahi, we don't forget what's happening to our brothers and sisters in another part of Ash-Sham, in Palestine, and the dreadful news that we wake up to every night and we sleep to every morning. But that said, subhanallah, this ummah is one ummah. When one part feels pain, the other part feels pain. And when one part elates and celebrates, then the other part should also celebrate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We indeed need to be part of history as well, as they have created a chapter in Tariq Dimashq, in the history of Damascus, by performing sujood al-shukr, showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we recognize this gift. We need to be a part of history through dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring ease upon these lands, and to make justice be completed, and to make the victory come into fruition and completion. We need to also create awareness amongst the loved and beloved around us regarding the reality of what's just happened in the past few days. And even mobilize the best of our ideas and the greatest of our minds in our communities. Bring together our expertise, bring together our wealth, and be ready to be a part of the solution for the future of Damascus and the lands of Sham. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I started the khutbah today with a portion from Tariq Dimashq, with a portion from the history of Damascus. And that was at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, after the passing away of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, around the era of 13 years after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in ending of today's khutbah, allow me to read to you the latest pages added to Tariq Dimashq, the history of Dimashq. On the 7th of Jamad al-Thani, 1,446 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a date equating to December the 8th, 2024, a momentous chapter unfolded in the annals of the Islamic world. The liberation of Damascus and the broader Sham region by the steadfast resolve of Ahl Sunnah became a defining victory against the forces of oppression. The Baltiniya factions, long entrenched in tyranny and oppression and misguidance, were decisively expelled, whilst the despotic ruler abandoned his stronghold and fled to a land called Russia. In a profound display of triumph, countless Muslim prisoners were unshackled from the bonds of their captivity. Their cries of freedom joined the echoes of takbir that reverberated across the liberated lands. The streets were awash with tears of joy and gratitude as the day became a radiant testament to divine justice and mercy, a day etched forever in the memory of history as one of the greatest days of Allah on earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring ease to the ummah, lift suffering of the ummah. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring honor to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.